Welcome to Unabridged, the weekly podcast where teachers take on books. We're your hosts. I'm Sarah, and I'm here today with Jen and Ashley.
This is Ashley. We'll chat about our Unabridged Book Club's pick of the month, recommend related books, and share our nerdy English teacher love of reading with our Unabridged highlights and with short episodes featuring targeted topics.
To follow along with our schedule, visit our website, unabridgedpod.com, where the books we read are linked for purchase. You want opinions about books? We've got them.
Hey, it's Sarah. Today is one of our Unabridged short episodes, and today, in honor of Halloween right around the corner, we are talking about spooky fall reads. Before we talk about that, we wanted to remind you that we have a Patreon page. That's at patreon.com/unabridgedpod, and to follow us on Instagram and Twitter. And one more thing is that our Unabridged Book Club is in full swing, and we would like you to join us in our discussion for our November book, Educated, and that will be all posted in November. So what are y'all's picks?
So this is Jen. My first pick is Fever Dream by Samantha Schweblin. It is translated from Spanish. And I learned about this one from the Morning News Tournament of Books, which I love. This was one of the choices. I actually listened to this one on Scribd. So Fever Dream is a very, very short book. It didn't take long at all to listen to it, but it's just one of those books that I think is perfectly concise. And so it just has this beautifully focused story. There is a woman named Amanda who is lying in the hospital. She's very ill, and she is the one having the fever dream. And so the whole novel is told from her perspective, which, as in a fever dream, is very surreal. And so it's difficult to determine what's reality and what's fantasy and, you know, what's just a result of a fever. Beside her, there is a boy named David. And initially you think that that is her child, and then you realize that he's something or someone else. So it's very, I wouldn't call it scary exactly, but it's very creepy, which I actually prefer. I like just creepy things that kind of get under your skin and you have a hard time. Yeah, I had a hard time getting this one out of my mind. So Fever Dream by Samantha, I think I'm saying that right, Schweblin.
Wow, that sounds really a little like it'll get your attention. I wanted to talk about Bag of Bones, which is by Stephen King. And I read this several years ago, but it has stayed with me. So I feel like that's a good mark of a creepy book. So I love Stephen King when I was younger, and I really loved horror books in general. And then I've really gotten away from that as I've gotten older. But this one, I think what I really appreciated about it is that it's not, it like Jen was saying, like it's creepy, it's kind of haunting, it's spooky, but it also is really a powerful story about Mike is the main character, Mike Noonan, and his wife died several years before, and he is grieving her. And there's like this cabin where they spend a lot of time, where all these strange things are happening, and so like that part of the story is happening. And then there's also another, he kind of is getting he's building a relationship with a mom and her daughter, and so there's stuff going on with that. And so these two different kind of parts are somewhat coming together, and it just, I mean, I thought it was really a fantastic read and appreciated it as both a powerful story and then also something that was, you know, that made you feel that chill up the back of your neck, but not like the, you know, jump out slasher kind of story. Mm-hmm. So I really enjoyed that. Again, that was Bag of Bones, and it's by Stephen King.
Well, this is Sarah, and my first pick, well, first of all, I'm not a horror fan. When I was younger, I liked to watch the scary movies with my friends, but as a grown-up, I feel like there's so many scary things happening that are real that I do not enjoy being scared. I do enjoy being creepiness and suspense. So my picks are a little safer than I would probably say Stephen King is in terms of like scares and creepiness. And they're both of my picks are YA. because that's what feels safe to me to read so that I'm not terrified. But what I really like is I like to read about witches and the whole Salem witch trials and all of that. That really is interesting to me. It's that kind of screams Halloween to me. So my first pick is The Wicked Deep by Shay Earnshaw. And I first heard about this book on Instagram, and I just loved it. It checked a lot of boxes for me because it had a little bit of this historical feel to it, because the story centers around a couple of centuries ago. These three sisters were accused of being witches in this town that was just very closed-minded. They were three sisters living together and running an apothecary shop, and they were accused of being witches. So the town drowns them in the sea, and then the story is that every year on the anniversary of their death, they come back and basically terrorize this town where they were drowned. Mm-hmm. So that the witch part really captured my attention, the historical feel. And then, of course, it's a YA story, so there is a love story, which I also enjoyed. But it was not, I didn't feel that it was predictable, and I felt like it was a really well-crafted story for this genre, especially YA, and also being this creepy, kind of magical story. So I really enjoyed it, and it's told from the perspective of one of the girls that lives in the town. Her name is Penny, and you just never know what's going to happen around each turn, and so I really enjoyed it. So that was The Wicked Deep by Shay Earnshaw.
So my second choice, I read 5 years ago, and what sticks with me is the atmosphere. So it is The Girl from the Well by Ren Shapiro. And actually, Ashley, we used a passage from this when we were co-teaching because it is great for, I think, setting mood and just creating some really evocative imagery of a really creepy place. Mm-hmm. I will say details, because I did read it a while ago, are a little skimmed. So I have looked. So the main character, well, there are two main characters. One of the main characters is dead. And I may butcher these pronunciations, so I apologize in advance, but Okiku is dead, and she was a victim of violent crime, I think it's like centuries ago, and she now travels and basically kills bad people. So she is killing evil people. So she's a very vengeful spirit. And then there's a boy named Tark, who is covered in tattoos, and the tattoos are representative of evil that is sort of being trapped by the tattoos. And so they come into contact with each other, and things happen. But I never know. I never transition gracefully out of those moments. But I loved this book because I think the characters are compelling, but also just because Shapiro does such a great job of building just this feeling of dread. And there's a lot of folklore in it as well, which I always find interesting and kind of creepy, because I think there's a lot contained in folklore that is representative of things that actually happened. So I would highly recommend The Girl from the Well.
So I wanted to talk about, well, I have to say that when you were talking, Sarah, about The Wicked Deep, that one is sitting on my nightstand, and I cannot wait to read it. And I read the first couple of pages, and it sucks you in right away. I can't wait to read that. So I wanted to talk a little bit about There's Someone Inside Your House, which is by Stephanie Perkins. And people out there who have read Stephanie Perkins know that this is quite a turn from her normal writing. She has several romantic comedies. Is what you would consider them. Anyway, so she does like romance books, and listeners who listen often know that I do not love romance stories generally, but I love Stephanie Perkins. I think she is clever. I think her characters are rich. and the things that happen are interesting. And I think she does a great job of telling a story. So I was interested in reading this, and Jen had read this one and said it was pretty fun to read. And you know, again, just it was Perkins, but she's trying something different. So it's fun to try that out. So I thought this was a good one to read, and it is. It's both in the horror genre and giving commentary on the horror genre. A lot like the Scream movies, where it's like using a lot of the tropes and conventions that come in the story, you know, in a traditional horror book, but also sort of playing with those. Mm-hmm. And so there's some of that, but it is somewhat slasher-like, more so than my normal choices, or something I would normally choose. But, so, you know, there people are dying and in gruesome ways. But it's also just a really captivating and quick-moving story of teenagers in a town. And Makani Young is the main character, and she has come from Hawaii and is, like, moving in with her grandmother and thinking she's moving into this, like, sleepy, boring town, and then all these things are happening around her. And so, I mean, I enjoyed it. I mean, I think for this, you know, again, if you're looking for a creepy book that is kind of fun, where bad things do happen, but you don't feel terribly disturbed by them, I mean, this is a good one for you. So, again, there's Someone Inside Your House, and it's by Stephanie Perkins.
Well, my second pick is one that is totally outside of my comfort zone. it wasn't scary, but... It's called Dread Nation, and it's by Justine Ireland. And this is a story about, it's right after the Civil War had begun. And it's really difficult to explain. So the Civil War began during the Battle of Gettysburg. All of a sudden, all the dead soldiers who have been killed in battle rise up, and they're zombies. And so that's the premise, is that there's this horrible epidemic of the undead rising up and coming after the dead. And so people who had previously worked on plantations, mostly black girls and native people, have been sent to these schools, combat schools, to learn to fight the undead and mm-hmm. take care of the high society white people who hire these attendants to help ward off the dead. So if they're attacked, that they can, the attendants will fight off the zombies for them. They don't call them zombies in the book, they call them the undead. But it was an interesting mix of, like, this historical flavor to a zombie story. And what I really loved about it, there were things that didn't quite fall in place for me, but what I really loved about it is the main character is Jane McKean, and she is an attendant. She goes to Miss Preston's School of Combat, and she is this strong character who is not afraid to speak her mind. It does not matter who it is, if it's a white man, society man, who thinks that she is just, the worst, or if it is her friends. I mean, she just always is speaking her mind, and she really protects those people she cares about. And she has her character development over the story is just really cool to witness, and to see where she comes from at the beginning and to the end. And just the structure of the story is really interesting. During the story, she's separated from her home because she goes to this combat school. So each chapter begins with a letter from her mother, who also has this scandalous past. And you learn, I don't want to give away too much, but you learn that there are some secrets in her family as well. And it's just, I just thought it was a really well-crafted story for, also, again, like, just like the Wicked Deep, for the genre. It's also YA. And yeah, it was just really interesting and totally out of my comfort zone, because I am not a zombie undead type girl, but it was really good. And I also listened to this one, Scribd, and the narrator who narrates Jane's story. She gave her such voice and just made the characters come alive. So I think that, I think had I read it, I might not have liked it as much, but listening to it on Audible was, or sorry, not Audible, on Scribd, listening to the audiobook was just, it was really good. So I hope,
so good.
Yeah, so I think that I would definitely recommend the audiobook for that one. So that's Dread Nation by Justine Ireland.
That is near the top of my list. Mm-hmm. I love zombies. Me too. And I love historical fiction.
Well, it's a first, and it's going to be a series. So it's called Dread Nation number one in parentheses. So that means more are coming out.
Okay. All right. So my third choice, I will say I had a hard time because I have realized that I read a lot of horror and I like it a lot. But anyway, so.
I did not have that problem.
Yeah. It's weird when I look back at my Goodreads list to reflect on what I like.
But I think sometimes you, in general, really just read a lot of all the books.
I do. But yeah, anyway, okay, this is random. But so the one I've chosen is Libba Bray's Diviners series, which I just love Libba Bray. I think she's always coming at stories from interesting angles. I don't want to talk too much about the later books. So this, so far she's published three of them. There will be a book four. I don't know how long the series will go on. But the first book is called The Diviners. It takes place in the 1920s, which I love. And I heard her speak at the National Book Festival a couple years about it. And she talked about how much fun she had researching the 20s and like 20s lingo. And you could definitely see that in the book. And there's a lot of that kind of, it takes place in New York. So there's a lot of grammar, like Ziegfeld Follies and all that kind of stuff is in there. And then there's this fantastic paranormal plot that comes in. So there's a serial killer. And the main character, whose name is Evie O'Neill, has powers, and she realizes that she may be able to help catch the serial killer. There is a museum of the occult that is run by her uncle, and so she kind of gets swept up in this storyline of trying to catch the serial killer, trying not to let her uncle know that she has powers. There's a whole occult thing. And then the cast sort of broadens and you start getting all of these different characters' perspectives. And the world just grows throughout the series. So in every series, there's a character or two who's added and you start seeing things from their perspective. So there's this great kind of ensemble feel to the series as a whole. I will say they are quite large books. I used to have these in my classroom, and they didn't always go very quickly because they're pretty huge. But I think for the right reader, they're great because, again, you get this great sense of history while having this wonderful sense of creepiness and the paranormal. And, yeah, so Libba Bray's The Diviner series is a great YA, great YA horror option.
Good.
Yeah, that sounds really good. I will say that one's been sitting on my shelf a long time because it is rather intimidating looking as far as the
I thought it was going to be a trilogy, and I was getting near the end of the third book, and I was like, this is not going to be a trilogy unless she wraps things up really fast.
Here we go. Got more to come. I'm torn between, I was going to talk about a short story and then I'm like, I want to talk about this novel. But I will stick with the short story route, especially for the teachers out there who are looking for spooky stories to do in class. And I'll talk about, this one's a classic, but this is William Faulkner's A Rose for Emily. And it is a beautiful story, that is really powerful for setting, for speaking to a time period, and talking about the way the culture changes and what happens when people don't change with the culture. But it also is a deeply disturbing story about a woman in a town. And her name is Emily, and she has a pretty dark secret. And so I think the story is told from this perspective of the townspeople. It's an unusual narrative voice because it's from like the we form, and so it's all of them speaking as a town, and thinking about her life after she dies, and then going into her house. And it's this, you know, it's Southern, it's Gothic, and it just has that feeling of it's what we always want to know about the interior of people's lives and how we're intrigued by that in other people, but often don't find out. And so, you know, that's very much what this story is about. And it's fun for kids to read because it has really disturbing turn as far as what has happened. And so, I mean, I always enjoyed teaching that in class because, again, it's rich literature and there's a lot that you can do with it. There's great symbolism. There's lots of really beautiful imagery, but also it has the creepy effect and is good for high school students. It's not an easy text, so I would say, you know, older students would be better suited for it. And again, that was A Rose for Emily, and it's by William Faulkner.
Yeah, mine is a short story, too, that I taught. And I taught it to my eighth graders. It is a classic. It's Edgar Allan Poe's The Telltale Heart. But what I found with this story is that the students, it is not easy because Poe is not easy. But that this story in particular is framed to that students are able to follow it. And especially, this is another one that I had an audio recording of, and the narrator was fantastic. And because it's told in first person, and the narrator is able to take on this persona of this person who is trying to convince us of his sanity, the kids really seemed to get it, and they liked it, and they thought it was really creepy. And it is. It's really creepy because, if you know Edgar Allan Poe, you know that a lot of his stories are really creepy. And they are really well done. But this story is told by the narrator. We never learn his name. And he spends the story trying to convince us, the readers, that he is not insane. However, there are things that occur during the story that make you skeptical of his opinion of himself. So, I don't want to give too much away, but in the story, there's an old man with an eye, I always picture it as this, a cataract eye, and it is appalling and craze-inducing for the narrator, and he spends a lot of the story just talking about the old man's eye and how it affects him, and so it's a really good story. It has lots of suspense. It is really dramatic. It's one that you could even use for reader's theater if you're a teacher. And there's just a lot of really cool things you can do with the story. With my students who were a little more advanced, we would do a trial and try the narrator to say if he could use an insanity defense or not. And it was really interesting what they were able to come up with in terms of evidence and things like that. So I really enjoy the story. My students enjoyed the story. And I always would give them an eyeball lollipop at the end. So I thought it was really cool. So this was one that I always used around Halloween. And we all enjoyed that the day that we did it. So that's mine. Telltale Heart by Edgar Allan Poe. And a lot of his work would qualify for a good spooky read.
Yeah.
Do you have comments or opinions about what you heard today? We would love to hear them.
You can find us on iTunes and Stitcher, on Instagram and Twitter at UnabridgedPod, or on the web at unabridgedpod.com, or on our Patreon page.
We'd like to thank Jared Featherstone, who composed our theme music, Strings of Light. Many thanks to Katie Amy of Amy Photography, our podcast photographer, and Tim Rieger, our videographer. Thanks for listening to Unabridged.